this is Joe Tomlin for the Fringe Review, and I'm sitting here with a performer. Please introduce yourself.
Hello, my name is Nisha DeLovely, and I'm an Oakland, California native, a poet, survivor, creative healer, you name it.
So you've just performed a show here, and what made you start performing or creating shows? Is this your first show?
This is my first solo show. This is my first one-woman show. I'm a survivor again, and so... very briefly, I'm a survivor of childhood molestation. And later in adulthood, I found out that it was domestic servitude. So during the very harsh years of my adolescence, I lost my voice as a result of trauma. And so during that period, I would write. So I journaled and I wrote a lot of poetry. Coming into adulthood to find my voice, I joined choirs. The choir helped me regain my voice. Then I would conduct different healing circles, and it was all about poetry, being able to express yourself, finding your voice, becoming assertive versus being aggressive and angry and just being silent. And so that led me to eventually, and this is very recent, to take my poetry public. And after regaining my voice, I made a vow that I was going to use it as an instrument to battle child sexual deviance. You know, whether that's child molestation, sex trafficking, exploitation, this is my ministry, I would say. And so I've been participating in festivals across the nation, having intimate circles, holding it in my living room, in the parks, going to shelters, group homes, daytime drop-in centers, and just speaking encouragement and empowerment to survivors and healers. And yeah, and that led me here to the Fringe.
And have you met, along your travels here with the show, have you met other people who can relate or have had the same experiences as you?
Yes. In fact, one of my community mothers, she actually encouraged me to apply for Fringe. Her name is Regina Evans. She is the writer and performer of 52 Letters, and she performed here in the San Francisco Fringe, I believe, in 2015, and she won Best Fringe. She's an abolitionist. She fights sex trafficking. And so we met some years ago, and I'm one of her lead poets in this very significant performance troupe called Ceremony. We actually go around and it's very ritualistic. So we fight child molestation. We fight sex trafficking. We are warriors that we aim to protect our children. We just want to plant seeds of love and empathy so that community can be aware that these things are happening, and then reach into their bags of empathy to go out and defend these children and to protect the children. And from there, you know, the seeds are planted and other folks will do the same. And we use artistic expression as our choice of protest. So, yeah.
You mentioned just now losing your voice. And literally, what's that like?
Oh, it was tough. It was really tough. So it was, it's called selective mutism. And during this era, I didn't have the confidence. I didn't have any esteem. You know, sometimes people say, oh, I suffer with low self-esteem. Well, there was no esteem. There was no self-respect. I didn't feel like I had any value, any reason at all for even being here other than to be exploited and used sexually by the predator. So I relied a lot on the pen and paper. I have to fold inside and trust myself enough, feel comfortable enough to at least express my feelings on paper. And that helped me get through many a night. Poetry, prayer, keeping that journal, and it actually helped me realize what I am strong at and what I'm weak at as well. So I learned through this that no is a power, it's a muscle, it's a right, and that it's okay if I didn't always scream and fight and cry. No means no. And so now I encourage, you know, everyone out there, I teach, you know, no means no. And this is for the child who screams and cries. This is for the woman. This is for the man who softly pleads, who's barely audible. But a no is a no. So Does that make sense? Did I answer your question?
Yes, yeah. So how cathartic is this?
Very, very. Every time I perform, it's very therapeutic for me because I'm constantly healing. As a survivor, I'm always healing. And I feel like I'm empowering the next person. You know, there are so many people that walk up to me after my performances and they say thank you, men, women, all different ages, children. And what I really enjoy about it is that sometimes folks are silenced by their violence, and it's not selective mutism, it's just that trauma where they have that secrecy. They live their entire lives, they have careers, they start families, and they're not able to talk about what once happened to them. So they're carrying this demon, and then it takes something like get uncomfortable, and then they're able to feel like, okay, I'm not alone, it wasn't my fault, thank you for speaking openly about this, and now I can go home and I can begin my healing process.
Have you had conversations with young people, because in your show you do talk about children, but have you had conversations where they have opened up, or they've been able to open up because of something else that's happened, something positive?
Yeah, all the time. So again, this is therapeutic for community. You know, this is my, this is how I'm giving back, right? This is how I'm giving back. So I've had children, like little children as young as 6-7 years old, walk up to me. Well, of course they're with their parents, you know, and they'll bring them out to hear me speak. Again, I go to different shelters and daytime drop-in centers, and you know, I'm known for doing these type of pop-up, you know, poetry protests. And yeah, there's been situations where really young children have hugged me and cried, you know, and then they were just like, thank you. Like, their parents encouraged them to speak to me. And there's been times where the parents themselves came up and said thank you because I didn't know how to address this. I didn't know how to handle it. I felt responsible. You know, I did everything I could. I did the best I could to protect my child, but it still happened. So thank you. And then I've had elders approach me. I've had elders in their 80s. Though this person that, you know, approached me and said thank you was a counselor at Laney College, and she was 89. She's 89 years old, and she said she's been carrying the grief of being molested as a child with her all these decades. So, you know, I've had babies, and I've had my elders, and it just really encourages me to continue doing this. Yeah.
So how effective do you think theater is as a tool to disseminate information, but as a help or a therapy?
I think it's very effective. I was just talking to someone. Now, you can have a workshop, you can have a lecture, you can go into a classroom, you can have a counseling session privately inside of your office. Now, most of these things require money. In a lot of cases, folks just don't have the resources. They don't have the money, you know. And with theater, especially the theater that I do, it's usually free. My workshops are usually free to accommodate community. It gets the message out, first of all, the awareness that these things are happening. It lets community know that we need to just be a little bit more vigilant, have better eye on our babies, you know, and be aware of who's in our company, and just make sure we check in, we tap in, we build trusting relationships with our neighbors, with our children, with you know, their schools. It just brings us together. You know, when we have community, then I believe that we can protect each other. And our babies, you know, they build that trusting system with us. And, you know, if something happened, they can come to us and talk. Because one thing, as a survivor, when you don't have anyone to talk to, when you don't have that trust system, you tend to fold, you blame yourself, you start to hate yourself. And then it just grows as a cancer internally. And that's what leads to the different vices. And unfortunately.
And finally, will this be your only performance or your only show, or do you plan to create more performances, more shows?
This is absolutely not my only. I'm just getting started. I feel so blessed to even be here. So my intention with this is to go out into community and start to teach drama. Like, I want to use this to encourage other survivors to find their voices. And so I already do workshops. So the next step is to become, I don't know, maybe a drama teacher. I just want to teach folks to love and heal through the artistic expression.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us this afternoon.
You're welcome. Thank you. I'm so blessed. Thank you.